בטחים גם יחד הנה מה טוב הנה מה טוב לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
An insight shared with me last year on Shavuot by Beth Hillel member Dr. Susan Gray, and I hope it blesses you as much as it blessed me when she told me about it and made me really start thinking about it. And I said, I got to write that down, Dr. Susan. I think I'm going to use that next year. And indeed I am. Numbers chapter 15, please. Numbers 15. We're going to be moving through some scripture. If you don't get it all down or you can't follow along, well, that's okay because it's on the internet. Hey, all you internet people. It's Shavuot. I guess you're having a lot of fun. Are you ready to celebrate what the Lord has for you? In this beginning part, this mini message, I got something for you that I think is going to bless you. It blessed my socks off. I'm not wearing socks today. That's not true. I got to repent for that. That's not true. But symbolically, I'm not wearing socks today. Why? Listen to this. In Numbers 15, very interesting, has to do with this. It has to do with this. What is this? I don't know. Numbers 15, 37. It says, Adonai spoke to Moses saying, speak to Bnei Israel, the children of Israel. Say to them, they are to make for themselves tzitzit or fringes on the corners of their garment throughout their generations, and they are to put a blue cord on each tzitzit. It will be your own tzitzit, so whenever you look at them, you will remember all the mitzvot of Adonai and do them and not go spying out after your own hearts and your own eyes, prostituting yourselves. This way you will remember and obey all my mitzvot, and you will be holy to your God. Amen. Okay, the tzitzit, friends, the tzitzit are fringes. And you know, a wedding chuppah, a wedding canopy, actually is symbolic of a big talit that's covering the bride and groom during a marriage ceremony. And why would the talit be something under which somebody should get married? This all relates to Shavuot and is in a connection that I had not even fully seen in its fullness. And y'all, I think this is so cool. I'm so excited to share it with you. I've been waiting for a year. She told me after the service, the last Shavuot, and I'm like, dude, I got to wait a whole year to share that with everybody and to dig into it. And I dug into it and has some fun. Okay, so what do we got here? The reason is because they want a marriage to be under God's covering and his commandments, right? Because why? What are the tzitzit, the fringes of your talit? The fringes, the tzitzit, have been worn by our people for thousands of years since the giving of the Torah. And of course, we know historically over the years, they've been worn as a male garment. We reserve it as such at Beth Hillel, but Orthodox Jews wear them daily. Unlike most Messianics, Orthodox Jews will wear them daily as a talit katan, which is worn under the garment. You've seen this before with the tzitzit hanging out. But more commonly in Messianic Judaism, guys will don a talit during Shabbat service, during worship, during times of personal prayer. Sometimes they'll even take the talit and they'll cover their families with the talit. It's a really beautiful thing. The tzitzit are very important. What do we read about in the book of Numbers? It's something very important to understand. It has a connection to today. I'm telling you, get ready for this. This is so cool. It has a connection to today. Why? Because we understand if we read Numbers chapter 15, the purpose of the tallit is all well and good. The fact you can put it over your head, the fact that it can be worn like this, that's all great. But the most important part of the tallit by far is not this part. It is this part. It's the fringes. This is the whole purpose. The purpose of the whole rest of this garment is so that you can wear the tzitzit. Essentially, the tzitzit are the most important part. The purpose of these fringes, according to Numbers chapter 15, is to remind us to follow the commandments. I want to say that again. To remind us to follow the commandments of the Torah itself. So get this. I mean, it's really cool. In the Torah, right? This is, we had the earlier the Torah scroll out. In the Torah, which we're celebrating being given today, in the Torah, it commands our people to wear tzitzit in order to remind us to follow the commands of the Torah. How very interesting. Do you see the circle that that makes, if you will? How clever that is, right? So, in the Torah is a mnemonic, is a reminder for us so that we can follow the Torah itself. And we are commanded, by the way, as it says in the book of Numbers 15, Shmuel, to do this how long? Forever. Throughout your generations. It's an everlasting thing that we are to wear the tzitzit, the fringes. And what is that like? How does the fringes serve as a reminder? It does so. It's sort of like back in the old days before we had smartphones and could remind ourselves just by telling, you know, our smart device to remind us of something. Years ago, they had this thing where, you tie a string around your finger. Right? That was the old thing. You tire, and then so later on in the day or something going on, you do that to remind you of something. And then why do I have this string? Oh, yeah. I got to remember to do this, to pick up milk or whatever at the grocery store. Okay, whatever it is, right? Well, that's what this is for, according to the Torah. It's to remind us of something, to remember something. Now, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Listen very carefully to this. If you were thinking of sinning, you notice, wait, you're out and about and you're thinking about sinning and you notice, wait, I can't do this. I need to follow God's commands. It's a loving reminder that tzitzit that doesn't stop one from sinning because God gives us a free will. However, it helps one resist the temptation to do so by reminding us of God's commands. That's what this does. It's like a reminder of God's commands, even when we're not actually reading them or even actively thinking about them. And yet it reminds us. So if you will, when you're just kind of walking along the way or you're doing whatever you want to be doing in life, and you have the tzitzit, and the Jewish man back in the times of the children of Israel and scriptural would be wearing their tzitzit, and maybe they were looking to do a business deal, and they were looking to maybe kind of cheat their neighbor a little bit. Maybe the ox wasn't as good as they presented it to be. They were a used ox salesman. Okay. You got to watch out for those used ox salesmen. You know, they are a sketch. And so what, you know, maybe the ox, not so good. So you look at it, but as you're walking around, you're looking to cut the deal. Well, boy, that's a good deal for an ox. Yeah, I'm going to give you a deal you can't refuse. But then you look down and you look at the tzitzit and you're like, no, this is wrong. I can't do this. See, it reminds you to follow God's commandments. Maybe when you're at home and you're having a discussion with your spouse and your voice starts to raise and you start to feel anger come up within you and you look down and you say, oh, no. No, I have to love her. I cannot do this. See, it's a reminder to follow God's commandments. It's a reminder for us. So when we commit, which we will do in just a few minutes, to follow the commands of God, that tzitzit is something that God has given us to remind us of his commands and teaches us to obey and follow him. I think it's an amazing thing that God loves us so much that in the Torah, which we celebrate today, we say how God wants for us to be blessed so much, he actually gave us a regular reminder of his commands. Wow, that's pretty amazing. But here's one of the totally cool things about Shavuot, and something that perhaps you hadn't seen before. And it's so interesting because unless you understand Shavuot, you can't fully get this. If you don't understand the Tanakh and the Brit Chadashah, and so many people in the believing world don't understand Shavuot, and merely are looking purely Acts 2 Pentecost, and our traditional Jewish people don't understand Acts chapter 2 and the connection between the two of them, which is so powerful. It's one of the most amazing connections that you're going to find here. Get ready for this. Follow me. You can turn to John 14. So we all know that the Torah was given on Shavuot. And as you further know, and as I'll read a little bit later in our ceremony, and as Mark read a little bit earlier, in Acts chapter 2, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, was given on Shavuot. Okay. But here's the interesting thing, folks, and maybe something you've not ever put this together in this way. Wow, it blessed my socks off. What did Messiah Yeshua specifically say was one of the main purposes of the giving of the Ruach? I'm glad you asked. Why? Yeshua tells us one of the main reasons he was sending us the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 25. Here's what Messiah Moshiach Yeshua says regarding the coming of the Holy Spirit, which was to happen on Shavuot. These things I have spoken to you, verse 25, while dwelling with you. But the Helper, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of everything that I said to you. Oh my, hold on a second here. Perhaps you've never seen the connection between the tzitzit and the Ruach HaKodesh. There is a distinct and explicit connection that we see fulfilled really only and fully on Shavuot. Yeshua here says that one of the primary purposes of the giving of the Ruach HaKodesh is to, wait for it, to remind you of Yeshua's commands. Woo-wee. This is good stuff, y'all. By the way, if you're watching online from New York and you're thinking, wow, that doesn't sound very New York Jew, it's Southern Jew, the ooh-wee, okay? Narotsky will tell you. He's been down south here long enough. He knows. It's a Southern Jewish thing, right? This is good stuff. Friends, much in the same way that Yeshua came to fulfill the Torah requirement for a blood atonement for sin. So Yeshua came specifically to fulfill the Torah requirement for a blood atonement for sin, which is found in the book of Leviticus in the Torah, explicitly in the Torah, very connected, Tanakh and Brit Chadashah. Similarly, the Ruach came in part, much like the Tzitzit, to help us in a deep and profound way to remember the instructions of our Messiah. It can truly be said that the Ruach is the Tzitzit of our hearts. Let me say that again. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is the tzitzit of our hearts. Friends, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, if you're Jewish or Gentile, you can all have the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. This is the fulfillment in the grand scheme of things, much in the same way that Yeshua came to fulfill that which was in the Torah, and we see in him the fullness of it. We see similarly the Ruach HaKodesh is there to be the tzitzit of our hearts internally. He reminds us of the commands so that when we are going about our way, we remember John 16. But the Spirit of God, who is now placed in our hearts, is not a cloth tassel. He is within us and he is guiding us. John 16, 13 says, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will tell you and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Ruach HaKodesh within you should also guide you and remind you to follow God's commands. Let me put it this way. And if you've been listening now, I want you to see if you have some remembrance yourself of something. Let me put it this way when it comes to the Holy Spirit. If you were thinking of sinning, you notice inside, wait, I can't do this. I need to follow God's commands. The Ruach is a loving reminder that doesn't stop one from sinning because God gives us free will, but he helps one resist the temptation to do so by reminding us of God's commands. He's like a reminder of God's commands, even when we're not actually reading them or actively thinking about them. Wow, huh? Amen. You're starting to get it, right? So just like when I was talking a little bit earlier, when you're having that discussion with your spouse and your ire starts to get up and you start to get upset, you don't have to have a tassel on. You have the Holy Spirit, which is a reminder that is inside all of us who are followers of Messiah, right? That prompts you and says, don't do that. Show love to your spouse when you're trying to sell a lemon of a car. I know none of you are ox salesmen. We do have some chicken people in here, by the way. I love you, chicken people. Okay, I know we don't have an ox, but maybe you're selling that car and you're like, man, boy, the transmission is about to fall out of that thing, but I'm going to sell it. I'm going to make as much money as I can out of it. Woo-hoo-hoo! Man, yeah. No. Inside, the Holy Spirit within you says, no, don't do that. He reminds us of the command. Do you see the parallel? It's so cool. Both of things which we celebrate today on Shavuot, because it's the giving of the law and the giving of the Spirit, they're connected, my friends. Are you with me? And that's why the title of my mini message today is Tzitzit and the Ruach, because the Ruach is the tzitzit of our hearts. And we are reminded yet again today that the old and new are one book. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we should allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and to remind us of his commands. Amen? Woo, amen. Reflect on this now as we're going to begin the Shavuot ceremony in earnest. Get ready. Woo! And I can tell you got some excitement building because that was a good amen. Give me one more amen. Ooh, yes. We must remember here, friends. Here we go. I look forward to this every year. We must remember that on Shavuot, friends, our first crops are now ready. My wife has a garden and she's eating the very first things from her garden. We see here, look at all the bounty here that we've been blessed with, representative. The first crops that we planted the year in Israel, for sure, are just now starting to come up. It's about harvesting time. We're nearing more and more the great day of the Lord. We know that that's coming. He's coming soon. And so, therefore, we must give God thanks for our harvest. That's what today is in large part about, being Shavuot. God has blessed you. I know he has. Dayenu, it is enough, right? And this is a day of rejoicing, but rejoicing in him. rejoicing in him for his goodness to us. And so this is why we give back, if you will. This is why we have this special offering. It's specifically commanded, but this is why God put this in here for us, to remind us of this, to give back to him who has given his all for us. And so the first thing I want to do is we're going to finish the count of the Omer. I'm sorry I couldn't count it with you all 50 days, but I was counting from home. I was very faithful watching online. Thank you very much. I never missed a Shabbat. Don't ever miss a Shabbat. Come on. You're out of town. You're sick. You can watch online. I know a lot of you are watching online. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kedshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al sfirat ha'omer. Amen. You can start the count now. Blessed are you, God, King of the universe, who made us holy with his commandments and commanded us on the counting of the Omer. Today is the 50th day of the Omer, which is Shavuot. Let's give God praise, everybody. Thank you, Lord. We have made it. Woo! You can see when I talk about how, look, there's not one green thing in the picture. That's Mount Sinai. Tradition has that the mountain bloomed, but that's based on a scripture. Why? Because specifically God commanded the children of Israel not to allow their cattle onto the mountain, and it's thought that they would have gone to the mountain because it had bloomed. Otherwise, they would have had no reason to go, which is the reason we believe that the mountain bloomed and why we have all this decoration. Thank you so much for showing those beautiful pictures. Absolutely wonderful. And so Chag Sameach HaBikurim. Okay, so get ready. I'm going to move very quickly here. So much is about to be revealed that you're going to enjoy yourself with. You're about to get a taste of something ancient. There are so many aspects of Shavuot. Music team, you do not need to come back up yet. We're going to be going over some of them today. Here is a preview. Shavuot is a harvest holiday. So we bring our first fruits. So we've got all the harvest here, you see, and we bring our first fruits to the Lord. It's also the day that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, as I said earlier, and the day also on Shavuot when the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, was given in Acts chapter 2. This service is very interactive, regardless if you're here or if you're watching from home. Either way, I want you to verbally participate when we ask you to. I want for you to get the blessing of Shavuot today and let this minister to you. Leviticus chapter 23. You don't need to turn to it. Leviticus 23, 21 says, you are to make a proclamation on the same day that there is to be a holy convocation. Hello, that's what we're doing. And you should do no regular work. It's a Shabbat. This is a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations, which, by the way, includes today and here and now. You are all doing it. You're all in fulfillment of the command. Good for you. A holy convocation forever throughout your generations, wherever you live. This holiday is called Shavuot, which literally in Hebrew means weeks, if you will. It's also called Chag HaBikurim, if you will, the Feast of First Fruits. You know, some believe that Yeshua was resurrected in the holiday, the harvest holiday of early first fruits, which happened during Passover. He was, of course, the first of a great harvest of those who will be resurrected from the dead. Someone say amen. Okay, you're with me. Leviticus 23:15 says, you are to count from the morrow after the Shabbat, from the day that you brought the Omer of the wave offering, seven complete Shabbatot. Until the morrow after the seventh Shabbat, you are to count 50 days and then present a new grain offering to Adonai. You are to bring out of your house two loaves of bread for a wave offering made with 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour. They had to be baked with chametz as a first fruits to Adonai. Okay, so what did the scriptures command us to do? This is so amazing, y'all. Count 50 days, which we just did. Present an offering, which we are going to do, but it would start our offering today collectively as a mishpacha. Start with these two giant loaves. These two giant loaves. This is to be a wave offering of first fruits of two. This is made with the correct amount of flour that is designated in the scripture. I have never made a loaf that big. Look at the size of that bread right there. That is just amazing. And so, thank you to Maria. Marie, you did a great job making this. And I know they spent like all day making it happen. So absolutely a beautiful thing. And we are to make a wave offering of these first fruits. This represents our harvest. Because friends, understand, there should always be a harvest in your life. Is there a harvest in your life? It may not always be financially, but in some way we should be maturing and bearing fruit in our lives as we are growing. Think about areas where you have grown this year. There's surely areas where you have grown. We need to make an offering to the Lord to give thanks for this. Today is the 50th day of the counting of the Omer. On this day, the first Omerim of wheat, which is the last grain crop to ripen, are baked into these loaves and brought to weigh before the Lord. Each loaf made with 2/10 of an ephah of wheat flour, which is about 1/2 gallon for all you chefs or cooks out there or bakers. I am none of the three. Each is close to 3 feet long and about 9 inches wide. And so we ask you the question before we wave it. I want to see if you're with me. You see a message that's going to come up on the screen, and I want you to answer some questions for me. It now appears upon the screen. Voila, on the screen. Okay, very good. Did you start counting the weeks after sundown at the end of Passover High Shabbat? Is this the day after 7 complete weeks? You have reached the 50th day of counting the Omer? Yes, the day of Shavuot is fully come. We may wave the Omerim. Ooh. I'm going to ask Mordechai, Lazarus, Ben Muddle Shama to join me up here, because now we have reached day 50 and we have grown to maturity. I sure did enjoy Passover with all of you came to the Passover Seder, but Shavuot is symbolic of a maturation of something. Let there be a maturation of something in your life. Someone say amen. We have grown to maturity. The bread is now leavened and become large loaves. It's the culmination of something. We wave 2 Omer loaves from the new wheat harvest, and we may eat of that harvest. See, we're not supposed to partake of the harvest in our lives until we have given God his portion and given God thanks for what he has given us. Amen. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to wave these incredibly giant loaves here. You ready? Have you been working out? Okay, I've been watching the streams online a little bit. I don't know if I'll be okay. 1, 2, 3. Oh! Wow. Now this weighs a lot, doesn't it? Man, this is hefty. Okay. We're going to wave these on behalf of all of you. Okay. So this waving, okay, I'm going to gently, risky, put your hand just like on this side. I'm just going to tilt it a little bit so people can see. Look at these
strings of wolves.
I don't know. Okay, so first we're going to start south to north, and this is all in reference to one of the Hallel Psalms, Psalms chapter 113. So we're going to wave this first south to north over Jerusalem. Ye his servants, and east to west now, from dawn to sunset, and upward, high in heaven. And then downward, who humbles himself . We have waved the Omerim and obeyed this command. Amen. Let's give God praise.
Thank you.
So cool. Absolutely. Many of you know what a ketubah is, of course. A ketubah. I'm actually performing 2 weddings in the month of this month. I'm performing 2 weddings this month. And a ketubah is a marriage contract. And I'm attending another. I'm going to be at 3 weddings this month. And 1 next month. Wow, I got 4 weddings in the next 2 of them I'm conducting. A ketubah is a marriage contract. It's an agreement that establishes some of the parameters of the relationship between the bride and the groom. Oftentimes, we'll read part of the ketubah during the ceremony. Well, the giving of the Torah is a marriage contract between God and Israel. It is said that the cloud came down on Mount Sinai and it was like a chuppah. Okay, it was like a chuppah. It's one of the reasons we're under the chuppah today, a chuppah, as I said earlier, representing a talit, right, which reminds us of the commandments. In addition to weeks, Shavuot also means oaths, oaths. Today is an annual rehearsal for the betrothal of the bride, Israel, the body of believers, to Messiah. And so this festival of Shavuot is kind of like an engagement party. Exodus 19, verse 16 says, in the morning of the third day, this is on the first Shavuot, there was thundering and lightning, a thick cloud on the mountain, Mount Sinai, you saw it, and the blast of an exceedingly loud shofar. All the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the lowest part of the mountain. Now the entire Mount Sinai was in smoke, because Adonai had descended upon it in fire. The smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace. The whole mountain quaked greatly. When the sound of the shofar grew louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him with a thunderous sound. Wow. The Lord descended onto Mount Sinai in fire. Very, very powerful. Exodus 24:17 says, the appearance of the glory of Adonai was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain in the sight of Bnei Yisrael. Why is this important? It's important that you understand that on Shavuot, what happened? On Shavuot, when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, you all saw it on the movie, okay? And and the scripture says it was like a cloud. He came with fire on that mountain. The cloud covered the mountain and fire came upon it. Fire came upon it. And his face glowed, the scriptures say. It was radiant in a way that people couldn't even look at it. It was so bright. There was something about, amazingly, Shavuot in the Brich HaDashah is when Yeshua's promise that he would send the Ruach HaKodesh was fulfilled. And how is it fulfilled? We see in this, the symbology is unbelievable. The connection point. If you don't understand the original Shavuot, you can't understand Acts chapter 2. Acts 2 verse 1, when the day of Shavuot had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and tongues like fire spreading out appeared to them and settled on each one of them. They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to speak in other tongues as the Ruach enabled them to speak out. Unbelievable, friends. Tongues of fire came to rest on them. Do you see the parallel right there? And they were filled with the Ruach, right? And all nations understood. Why? Verse 5 says, now Jewish people were staying in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound came, the crowd gathered. They were bewildered because each was hearing them speaking in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, all these were speaking, aren't they Galileans? How is it that we hear in our own birth language? See, friends, the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai is a ketubah, a marriage contract between God and Israel. The giving of the Ruach in Acts 2 is a covenantal sign also with the whole world, with the nations. It had all the nations of the world languages. Yes, in Acts chapter 2, only Jewish people were there at the time. It was symbolic of the word going out to the world, which also connects to the Holy Spirit being the tzitzit of our heart. Jew and Gentile, like we enjoy the Holy Spirit giving us this reminder. And wow, the connection there is amazing. We're called the bride of Messiah. The 3,000 saved that day were the first fruits of the bread of life. We too are part of the Bikurim. We too are part of the first fruits, if you will. On Passover, the slave children of Israel were set free and the bride was redeemed. 50 days later, God gave her the ketubah, his covenant fulfilled. On Passover, Yeshua set us free from slavery to sin to be his future bride. Then he told her, count the days, count the days. We've been counting the Omer, right? On day 42, he left this earth saying, I go to prepare a place for you. This is just like a Jewish wedding. I told you, I got four weddings in the next 45 days. Unbelievable. Two of which I'm conducting. Okay, right? Just like a Jewish wedding. When the 50 days were fully counted, he gave her this engagement stone. Today is that day. Friends, you got to realize that today you are not a slave to sin anymore. The children of Israel, remember, they had just come from Egypt. They had been slaves. Shavuot is a reminder that you're now free. You're free from sin. We're free to follow the Lord. Amen. When, friends, when we're freed from sin, it's like bondage. It's like get out of jail. Woo! Praise God. We are free from that sin and the bondage that ties us down. You are not in Egypt. You need to understand that, my friends, that you are freed. On Rosh Hashanah, of course, which is coming up this fall, he comes for his bride. On the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, the marriage will be celebrated as we dwell with him for eternity, which when we celebrate the final harvest of grapes and oil, the final harvest. Yeah. So first, if you are ready to commit yourself to the Lord and to follow his decrees, then we're going to join in as a congregation and repeat the same words of our people in scripture and accepting God's word. It's the words they spoke at Mount Sinai, words that they broke, but we got to do our best not to break them, my friends. And these are like commitments made at a wedding, like vows, wedding vows, except for instead of to your spouse, you're making these commitments to God. So we see it on the screen here. Let's all read it together. All the words which the Lord has spoken, we shall do. All that the Lord has spoken, we shall do and obey. Woo. Yes. See, friends, some of you I know have been a bride before, but we're all part of the bride of Messiah. Understanding his gift to us makes the holiday make even so much more sense. We understand this holiday so much if we understand our purpose and role. It also makes us understand the offering requirement make more sense. See, Shavuot represents God's gifts to us of the Torah, of the Holy Spirit, of salvation. And God has given gifts to us. It's only fitting for us to give gifts to God. In Leviticus 23, verse 37, it says, "These are the Moedim of Adonai, which you are to proclaim to be holy convocations, to present an offering by fire to Adonai, a burnt offering, a grain offering, a sacrifice, and drink offerings, each on its own day, besides those of the Shabbatot of Adonai, and besides your gifts, all your vows and your freewill offerings, which you give to Adonai." So this is the Lord's appointed feast we read about in the Torah. And we are to bring an offering in addition to our regular giving. See, friends, we give God our tithes on a regular basis, and that is good. That is foundational. Never tempt God by keeping this small percent that belongs to him. But first fruits is a chance to really make sure priorities are in the right order, to make sure we're giving to God our first fruits. Yes, financially, friends, but really more than this. It's more than this that we're giving to God with our time, with our talent, with our hearts, really. The decorations of blooming offerings remind us of the importance of putting God first and giving him our very best. Deuteronomy chapter 16 says this in verse 9. It says, 7 weeks you were to count for yourself. From the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain, you will begin to count 7 weeks, which we've been counting, right? We just counted it. Then you will keep the feast of Shavuot to Adonai your God with a measure of a freewill offering from your hand, which you are to give according to how God blesses you. So you will rejoice before Adonai your God in the place Adonai your God chooses to make his name dwell. You, your son, daughter, slave, maid, Levite, outsider, orphan, and widow in your midst. You will remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you are to take care and do these statutes. So God tells us on Shavuot also one of the things that we're supposed to do is to bring an offering, a freewill offering, according to how you've been blessed, according to how God blesses you. And so he tells us to rejoice. We're commanded to rejoice and to remember we're not slaves anymore. Brother and sister, achim ba'achayot, you are no longer a slave. We are not a slave to our sinful nature anymore. We have been freed. And so we give thanks to God as we bring our offering, as we've been redeemed. Deuteronomy 16:16 says, 3 times a year, all your males are to appear before Adonai your God in the place he chooses. This is the Shalosh Regalim, right? The Feast of Matzah, the Feast of Shavuot, and the Feast of Sukkot. No one should appear before Adonai empty-handed. the gift of each man's hand according to the blessing Adonai, your God, has given you. Okay, so the scripture says that specifically on Shavuot, which we are on right now, we should bring a free will offering. Yes, it should be above our tithe explicitly, but also it says that no specific amount is compulsory. Scriptures just mandate that everybody has to bring something. Big, small, it doesn't matter. Whatever your heart leads you to do, scriptures merely tell us that our free will offering should be in proportion to how we've been blessed. So if you've been blessed big, God instructs us that our offering to the Lord should be big. If it's been a little bit of a tough year, it's okay. We have some years with plenty, some years that are a little more of a famine. Okay, then if so, your offering is probably very small. It's in proportion. Kobeseder, that's okay. It doesn't, the size of the offering doesn't matter. It's not a particular amount. It's that everybody brings something, and it's in proportion to how you've been blessed. So whatever that is between you and the Lord. It's a thanksgiving offering as God has been good to us. So we're going to do something in just a minute, which we have done for many years at Bethel. It's one of the most beautiful things people look forward to. But first, I'd like you to each bow your heads for just a moment as you're listening. And I want to allow the Lord to deal with each of you as to what our free will offering is going to be, to reflect on how God has blessed you. Again, the amount not so important so long as you're being obedient to what God is placing on your hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What are you leading us to do, Lord, in terms of a blessing? You know, it's interesting, man. Deuteronomy 26 is very unusual because it specifically outlines exactly what we should say when bringing our Shavuot offering. It says in chapter 26, verse 1, "Now when you enter the land that Adonai your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, you are to take some of the first of all the produce of the soil, which you gather from your land that Adonai your God is giving you, put it in a basket, and go to the place Adonai your God chooses to make his name dwell. You are to go to the Kohen in charge in those days and say to him, 'I declare today to Adonai your God that I've entered into the land Adonai swore to our fathers to give us.' The Kohen is to take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of Adonai your God. Then you are to respond before Adonai your God." Colon. And it's going to tell us exactly what we should say. And we're going to do that in just a couple minutes. So it tells us, bring your offering in a basket unto the Lord. And when you bring your offering within the basket unto the Lord, you are to say something specifically. Traditionally, this is the procession of the Bikurim offering. And in ancient times, it was always accompanied by rejoicing, as it is celebrating God and giving thanks to God for his goodness to us and our crops. So how we're going to do it here in just a moment is this. In just a second, I'm going to have you read on the screen the exact text that God commanded us to say when we bring this particular offering. It's right out of the scripture. And what I want you to do is I want you to come up on stage, but you'll come up on stage under the chuppah. And remember, and you'll bring your free will love offering to the Lord. And remember that it is above our tithes. And if you, by the way, if you're watching there at home, if you have it at home, you'll just hold it in your hands as we rejoice. Some of you have already sent it in. Great. If you're watching online, there's a PayPal link there. And when the music starts, you can send it in electronically. Make sure in the notes to mark it as Shavuot offering. It's something different. But here's the key, friends. When you come up, you can't come up glumly. If you come up with a frown on your face, then turn that frown upside down. Why? Because here's the point, y'all. What are we doing? Why are we doing this? We don't do things in Messianic Judaism just at religion's sake or to simply check a box. Yes, we're commanded to do this, but there's a reason we're commanded to do this, because we should have grown to maturity. We should have a harvest in our lives of some sort, and it's important to give thanks to God for that harvest and to do so with rejoicing. So those of you here will be entering into the wedding chuppah, to symbolize your commitment to the Lord as testified by the Torah, which we will also bring out. And you can almost think of it as a rededication of your commitment to the Lord. Also, Deuteronomy says specifically that we're to bow before the Lord as we deliver our bikurim, our first fruits, and rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given you in your household. So if any of you desire to come and bend at the knees and waist toward the Torah scroll, it'll be further following this command. Now, let me say, you all know we don't worship a scroll. It's not the scroll. It's not the object, but it's the Bible, friends, but it's a symbol of the Lord and of our bridegroom. Amen. So let's rise and we're going to go ahead and bring out the Torah scroll. Mark, why don't you grab the Torah scroll and kind of get it ready for our special Bikurim first fruits offering here unto the Lord. You'll be able to see what a beautiful job the lasers did up on stage. It's just amazing here. And also, I'm going to call our elders, Paul and Gene Blixover, going to come up. They're going to be the ones here in front of the, with the basket, during the offering. And we're going to read this together from Deuteronomy chapter 26. Really say this out loud together. My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down to Egypt and lived there as an outsider, few in number. But there he became a great nation, mighty and numerous. The Egyptians treated us badly, afflicted us, and imposed hard labor on us. Then we cried out to Adonai, God of our fathers, and Adonai listened to our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. Then Adonai brought us out from Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now look, I have brought the first of the fruits of the soil that you have given me, Adonai. That's from Deuteronomy 26, verses 5 through 10. And so the musicians are going to, Paul and Gene, come on up. We have our Torah scroll out. And also, let me say, this is a final thing. I know if you're a visitor here, you're like, wow, they have a wild way of collecting an offering here. No, we don't. This is once a year we do this. Okay. And if you came here today now you can put the QR code up there. Sorry. If you want to do so electronically, you can come up with your smartphone, just camera, and it will automatically send you to the link to do so with a credit card. But however you do so, and if you came here, listen, I didn't know anything about this offering thing, but everybody, it says, should come. Nobody should come empty-handed. If you don't have anything at all, come see me. I'll give you at least some money that you can do with what you want. If you want to just, you know, really, hey, listen, if you want to... I guess you could just walk out with it. That's fine. Okay. It's your money. Or you could throw it in the offering a basket. That way you don't come empty handed. So it's not about the money. It's about being obedient to the Lord in proportion to how we've been blessed. So with that, musicians, are you ready? Okay. Now, friends, you got to come joyful. You can't come glumly. You got to be excited. This is Shavuot, y'all. Thank you, Lord. You gave us the Torah. You gave us the Spirit. We bless you. Let's bless the Lord in this place. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Bless you, oh God. Thank you, Lord. You are a good God. We love you so much, oh Lord. Oh, we're so thankful for our harvest. God, you've given us so much. What a wonderful mishpacha you've given us. Thank you for the harvest. What a wonderful family you've given us. Thank you for the harvest. What wonderful friends. And Lord, you as our creator, your Bible, your Torah, you've given us so much. We're so thankful for it, Lord. We present our first fruits to you, but we love you, Lord. Let's give the Lord praise one more time, shall we? Thank you, Lord. Woo! Oh my goodness. Whew. Man, I'm telling you, friends, Shavuot hits differently. I am glad you came here today or you're watching online. Shavuot is something special. It's hard to explain. You know, the book of James chapter 1 says, by his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth so that we might be a kind of first fruits to all he created. So we are a first fruit of God's creation ourselves. And wow, we are dedicated to the Lord. And so that's exactly what this is all about. It's all interconnected. I hope that you were blessed by being here on Shavuot. In just a minute, Mark is going to come and conclude our service. I know I'm supposed to give the Aaronic blessing. Is that next or no? Okay, the cancer's coming up to give the Aaronic blessing. Perfect. So all of you, thank you so much. What a blessing this has been. I have been enjoying myself. Thank you very much. And Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Beth Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and Shalom.